someone who loved and could have had a, just deliberately taking something out that you never have been great in your personal life. And I know how alive we can get to the point that we are constantly, when I know I need to clean the house, when I really Thank you. strength of the wrong thing, to serve the wrong thing, give you that strength of will for the wrong things. Now, if a strong will can be used to serve that which is evil, well, then that same strong will can be used to serve that which is good. There's a reason why I believe in that theory that God created us with strong wills. And you know, let me tell you, you know, if I call your attention in the Old and New Testament, it says that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. A weak will never accomplish so great a love for God. Now, only beings with a strong will could ever accomplish so great a love for God. Now, every virtue has a vice. Every vice has a virtue. The first commandment says, you shall have none other gods before me. And you know it is our strong wills that go after those other little gods, small and empty. Now, can we do it on our own strength? And can we rip up the willpower to love God in the way that He wants us to love Him? No. The answer to that is no, we cannot. Without God's Spirit, there's only one thing that we can do very well, and we're good at it. You know, we can serve the wrong, the evil, the sin, with our strong wills. The Scripture will say in Romans, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from doing what God approves of. Notice, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from doing what God approves of. What did you gain by doing those things? The Scripture asks. You are ashamed of what you used to do because it ended in death. You know, we can take our strong wills and serve sin very well. And we're good at that. We understand that. But it's really not a matter of our weaknesses that consume us. It's really a matter of incredible strength that has been corrupted. If you disagree with that, think of the devil. Incredible power, incredible strength that was corrupted, that became corrupted. He made his choice, he had to make. And we have our wills. We like to get ourselves and say, God, that's not just so weak. But we have our strong wills and we have our choices to make also. Now, the dilemma that we're up against is found in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, let's turn there, a couple of scriptures here. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I'm going to read two scriptures. So I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. And I have said before you, life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live. God comes along, he lays it out on the line. He says, look, choose life. Choose blessing. I have said before you, good, you know, blessings and cursing. Make the decision. And what does it take to make that decision? Well, it's going to take a strong will. But notice in Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. Turn back to Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. And look at the fix that we are in. 5, verse 29 says, oh, it's almost a lament that God cries out, oh, that there was such a heart in them. If only there was such a heart in them, that's Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, and it might be well with them and with their children forever. If only in the inner man, the emotions, the appetites, the passions, the courage of man, if only there was a heart in them. So God comes along and says, I'm calling on all men to make an incredible choice that will require a strong, a powerful will. So what is the solution? Well, partly, the solution is what has happened to you, the calling of God, baptism, receiving the Spirit of God, that begins to transform your will. That begins to transform that strong will that you have. self-will. Our self-determining will that sometimes wants to do the wrong thing. It's a powerful force in our lives, that self-will. Jesus talks about it. He gives us a little story. He said, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and sent them to be occupied till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. You know, that's exactly what our self-will, that determining will to have my way, says. I will not have no one reign over me. That's sort of what we're up against, the struggle within. Self-will says, I know what is best. Self-will, the determining will, says, I would rather learn from my mistakes. Self-will says, prove it to me. Self-will says, seeing is believing. If you look at all these areas, you'll realize how it puts us in a quite a predicament in life. Because here I am saying, well, I know what the master is. If God says, this area is for you to say that. And I say, I would rather learn from my mistakes. And God says, that's foolish. I've shown you how to avoid your mistakes. Remember one time I gave an example of that. I said, suppose, without learning from your mistakes, I said, suppose that here Friday evening at the parking lot, I came out there and dug a pit 6 feet deep, four by four, and covered it up with sticks and gravel so you couldn't see it. Well, you want me to tell you when the pit's there, you know, the next day, so that you don't fall into it. And someone said, no, I'd rather just fall into the pit and learn from my mistakes. Is in quite a, you know, from God's perspective, God said, you know, I could have told you how to avoid that. So it's foolish for me to say that. And I, for a long time, I've been that type of person who has to learn from my mistakes. Self-will says, prove it to me. And part of that is the willingness to believe. Self-will says, seeing is believing. I'm going to see it before I believe it. And God says, well, that's, you don't have any faith there. You got to see it before you believe it. You need to believe it, then you'll see it. You need to have faith. There's self-will in us as a child. We have children of self-will. That determining will. I will have my way. And we push that wood stone top. And you stand on me. There's one of them. That's the wood stone. One minister said one time, you know what he said? If you put a child in a room full of toys, and you isolate an authority figure, so it picks out one toy, another man's toy. It must be like an old cat we used to have. Stuffed cat. And don't you touch that one stuffed toy. And you go away and leave that child there. That's the toy they're going to pick up. The self-will. The determining will. Adam had a garden full of trees. And they could pay them for that. But just this one tree. You can't touch that. You can't touch this. That's a wrap. Transition is going to take a lifetime. What is interesting allows us to feel the pain, to feel whatever we need to feel as this transition takes place. And our ideas, crazy ideas, well, God will just take care of this when Christ returns. Our self will. But no, we have been called now to convert. The truth is, a transition must take place from self will to God's will. I'm going to look at a class, two examples of a class of wills. One is done in Luke 22 and verse 41. Someone mentioned this, I think. Greg might mention this, or just touched on this, struggle. Luke 22 and verse 41. A class of wills. See an example of the clash of wills with our Savior, and then we come to our own personal clash of wills. He says, I don't realize what I'm doing. I don't do what I want to do. Instead, I do what I hate. I don't do what I want to do, but I agree that God's standard for good. So I am no longer the one who is doing the thing I hate. The sin that lives in me is doing that. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is nothing good in my corrupt nature. Standard. which still exists throughout my life. What a miserable person I am. Who will rescue me from this dying body? I thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ rescues me. So I am obedient to God's standard of my mind, but I am obedient to sin's standard of my cruel nature.
Changing of light, and they become very sensitive to the right light.
concentrate on their vision with increasing clarity. The lens of the eye hardened by exposure may be too stiff for the eye muscles to focus on close objects with a great small print. The brain reaches its maximum rate at age 20, about 3 pounds. Over the next 60 years, as billions of nerve cells die within the brain, it loses about 3 ounces. As I said, everything's good, but there's much to learn. Let's die. That must take place. Look at Romans 8, verse 13. Romans 8, verse 13. Romans 8, verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death, and the King James says, mortify means put to death, the deeds of the body, you will live.
Strong will. Or at least an attempt of the devil to destroy one strong will.
is where your greatest potential lies. God's Holy Spirit, coupled not with your weak will, but with your strong will, is where your greatest potential lies. And the love for lesser gods will vanish. And one day, we will be able to say to God, God, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength.